you show me.
Express your love.
Express your love.
Express your love.
Express your love.
Oh yeah, Tracy. Nice choice.
Expressing my love this Friday afternoon. Thought this was a nice combo of Express Yourself and our Labor of Love auction that we're going to be talking about in just a little bit. Online auction runs till 7 p.m. tonight, so don't wait. Go outbid your neighbor, your friend, your family on all of the great items that we've got going on. But first, we've got a special guest in the studio today, don't we, Cody?
Yeah, we are so happy to be joined with Tommy the Animal, local Carbondale band that I heard just had a great show last night at Steve's Guitars. Sorry if you missed it, but they are here in the studio with two guitars and here to talk about what they're up to and when you can catch them next time. And we'll start with Caleb over there. You're on mic too.
Hi, I'm Caleb.
We might see you at Dos Gringos, like, often. And our friendly neighborhood barista and
burrito slinger.
Burrito slinger. And I'm so glad he's here with his guitar at the studio, honestly. But, yeah, hey, what's up, Caleb?
Hey, Cody. Thanks for having us.
For sure.
Yeah, I'm Jack. I'm also in Tommy the Animal and also happy to be here.
Awesome. So I want to hear how Tommy the Animal got together.
Well, me and Jack went to college together at Colorado College, and we both had a similar interest in similar types of music. And then we both found ourselves in the Roaring Fork Valley after college, and we got together and kind of made our first album just in a abandoned cabin in the woods up on Basalt Mountain, and then the rest is history.
Thanks, Robin Ginger.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And
what a place to make an
album. Since then, it's been kind of just lots more recording in Caleb's house, and his guitar collection has slowly increased, and we try to use as many as we can on each record.
Are you in Satank, Caleb?
Yep. I'm still over in Satank, and that's where we made this last album that we just put out on November 22nd. It was pretty much entirely recorded in that basement unit of that house.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I want to see your guitar collection, man.
Yeah.
So anyway, what's the name of the new album?
New album's called Turbo Poetry. Yeah, it's 11 songs. Kind of took us about 2 years to compile everything and get everything done. So yeah, it's a
labor of love.
Yeah, a joint effort, me and Jack.
And what's the name of the album? Oh, you said the name of the album.
Yeah, Turbo Poetry. We could play a song I was off going, it right now if you want.
No, I was going to ask if it's your first official album.
No, we've done official releases before, but I feel like this one is like a step up in quality and songwriting, and I think we're...
Attention to detail.
Yeah.
And you guys are producing it.
Yeah, we're doing all the recording. That. We sent it off to a guy in Massachusetts to mix and master it. But other than that, it's all us.
Any other members in the band?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We play with two other local guys, both named Kyle. Kyle Light on drums and Kyle Jensen on bass. And then we're also often joined by our good friend, also from college, Ian Huschel, who plays keyboard and pedal steel. But oftentimes we just also play as a four-piece.
Very cool. Well, you have two beautiful guitars with you in the KD&K studio. Would you like to share a song?
Yeah.
Love to.
This first one that we're going to do is called Golden Ghost.
Thank you. off, then bathe me in the chocolate fountain. Whoa, golden goes to my head. You could be the cowgirl, take me to your highest mountain. Kick me off, then bathe me in the chocolate fountain. Whoa, golden goes to my head. Give up your seat, plant those silver seeds. Watch them grow.
Tommy the Animal, woo, live in the Katie and Gay studio. It's been a little spell since I've heard some magic like that in here.
Thanks, Cody.
Yeah, great harmonizing together, guys. And we're joined with Caleb and Jack of Tommy the Animal, Carbondale's favorite band.
I don't know about that. Although Ralph at Steve's Guitars, the sound guy, did say that we might have taken a spot last night for favorite band.
He also said that we're way better than we used to be.
Jeez, Ralph, come on.
We used to suck.
Well, no, I guess it would be between you guys and Sweet Jessup and the Dirty Buckets are both have quite a following these days. So.
We just played a show with them. We like those guys a lot.
We're about to do our best of the year 2024 stuff, and yeah, you guys are gonna be up in the mix with them for local bands, but we don't have a physical copy of your new album.
Yeah, it's in my online shopping cart. I just have to press order, and then they're gonna
get
shipped to my house.
We do want to eventually maybe make some actual vinyl, this new one, but that sort of requires probably doing some crowdsourcing and making sure we got some advance orders, because those are expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think just, you know, it's like at least like between 25 and 30 per vinyl if you order like 100. And then so you got to kind of make sure you got a little bit of demand for it.
Yeah, and my understanding is that vinyl became so popular in the last few years that artists like Taylor Swift or whatever, like gobbling up the market for all the records being made. So like really good, really good independent artists like are struggling to get in line there. Yeah.
Oh, you're insinuating that Taylor Swift isn't good.
I would never. So anyway, we're joined with Tommy the Animal. And what's happening like for the rest of the winter for you guys? Like where are you going to be playing next?
I don't know if we have anything scheduled just yet. I think we'll certainly play a few local gigs after the new year.
But our big thing in the works is we're going on tour in May, doing like a West Coast type thing. Gonna go probably hit New Mexico, Arizona, California, and then go up the coast and play maybe 10 or 12 shows this spring and play a bunch of the new ones and hopefully
make some new friends.
Yeah, make some new friends.
Very cool. When you guys do shows, do you usually have electric guitars or?
Yeah.
Usually. I think we usually have three or four. We do each show where I'll pick up an acoustic and kind of get that just more folksy sound. But I would say the vast majority of our shows is electric driven. But last night at Steve's, it was nice to kind of break it down and just kind of play drums with the brushes and play two acoustics.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, you guys want to play another song?
Yeah.
Love to.
This one's called Goodbye Paradise.
Tommy the Animal, live in the KDNK studio this evening on this wonderful wintry Friday the 13th.
Yeah, Friday the 13th.
We're joined with Caleb and Jack of Tommy the Animal, Carbondale's very own. And you guys are sounding so sweet. The songs just sound timeless to me. Like, you know, could have been from the 60s or, you know, any time. And I was wondering who does the main songwriting in the group.
It's pretty cool because I feel like we split it pretty 50-50 between me and Jack. I guess those two that we just played were maybe primarily written by me, but we're always collabing and bouncing ideas off each other, you know, changing chords out, changing lyrics out. He's really good at coming up with harmony parts. We have our strengths and we write songs based on that.
It's pretty cool. He writes probably, you know, 60 songs, and then we trim it down to, you know, 8 to 12, and then, you know, I add a few, but it's fun for me because I kind of get to come in and sort of be like a producer and say, this one's great, this one needs a little work, that one blows me away, this one we should throw away. And I think it's really great to have, you know, that sort of trust between the two of us where it can be like, you know, this is from a place of love, but this song is bad, or this song is really good. And I think that is just an honest partnership that really helps us make, you know, good music together.
And yeah, you guys said earlier in the interview that you went to college together, right? And how many years has this been?
We've known each other since probably like 2014 or 15.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
We were in separate bands in college. And it's funny because we did like Battle of the Bands like against each other.
Yeah, lots of mutual respect.
And yeah, so we've just known each other for a long time and we have a good, you know, trusting relationship of songwriting.
Yeah, well, it's working. And once again, we're joined with Tommy the Animal. And you guys, have you mentioned, do you know a future date of a show, a local show, or not yet?
No, I'm playing tonight solo at Westbound and Down in about an hour and a half.
Hey, there we go.
So come on out.
Where is that?
It's the old Capitol Creek in Willits. It's called Westbound and Down now.
Okay, the brewery.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
sorry. I was just going to say, I'm sure we'll play First Friday at some point in the next couple months. So keep your ear to the ground.
And how can listeners find out more about you?
Follow us on Instagram. We're pretty active on Instagram, posting, you know, where we're going to be playing, what we're releasing, if we're doing videos and whatnot. And then listen to us on Spotify. Yeah. I'd say Instagram and Spotify are the number one social media platforms for us.
Right on. You guys want to go out with one more?
Sure.
Or did you?
Yeah, we could do one.
I'm reading your...
No, just stare.
Cody's putting us on the spot. We only practiced two of these. Called Crying in Stereo.
With lead. into the deep. I'm crying in stereo. Crying in stereo. Someone's there, but I'm all alone. Yeah, I'm crying in stereo.
Actually joined with Tracy Strode, son of a gumbo, and Chris Hassig over in the background.
Hey.
And
great show last night at Steve's.
We have a little audience. Chris says, great show at Steve's. He's back there in the vinyl lounge. Tommy the Animal, Carbondale's very own. And thank you so much, guys, for taking the time to stop by the Katie and Kay studio.
Thanks for
today.
Having us, Cody. We love Katie and
Kay. Yeah, Katie and Kay's the best.
And tonight you are at the
Westbound and Down in Willits.
Westbound and Down at Willits at like 6. So I would highly suggest to get on over there and see him. And Chris, are you coming in to this party?
Are we talking about something?
Yeah, heck yeah, we are.
We'll say goodbye to the chaos. There's always...
Speak into your mic.
There's always a circus going on around here. So,
so what's going on?
Well, we've got the Labor of Love auction is ongoing, and bids continue rolling in, and we're going to keep monitoring it, I guess. And
2.5 more hours to place your bids.
Yeah. If there's something you really want, you better go ahead and buy it. There's some things that can't be bought elsewhere. But there's a lot of stuff that's still undervalued or whatever, so you can get great deals. Well, go check out the website. Just go to kdnk.org, and up at the top there's a banner, and click on through and check out the catalog. You can look at the donor list. You can, yeah.
What's everybody's favorite item this year for Labor of Love, Cody?
My favorite item, yeah, like...
Putting you on the spot,
like,
yeah.
Period?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I wanted to say that I loved that Steve Cole's voice, like recording a voice message on your phone, went for $250 in the live auction.
That's
nice.
Priceless right there.
Yeah.
You don't know the value that comes with the golden voice of Steve Cole greeting all of your callers, customers, what have you, when you dial the line. So I can't wait to see what comes of that.
Uh-huh.
And then the guys that were bidding on it, they were like, well, you didn't know that we want you to read a novel. Just joking. But
well, for me, I guess, I don't know, I guess I enjoyed getting this call from Molly Child from up on the, she was coming down Valley and she was taking this saddle and she didn't really know what to do with it. And so, but she decided to donate it to the auction and it was really a cool piece of Valley memorabilia, I felt like, is off the Child Ranch.
The thing is amazing.
It's a Western saddle, by the way. I think that question
was
asked last
week.
For
sure, ridden hard and like used and wasn't, you know, a piece of, it was not a plaything or anything. It
what
was
is
like
that
a tool?
What does that mean, Western compared to English?
I have absolutely no idea.
I think
somebody asked what
I've
kind
of sort
of, there's a Western
I know
saddle
what I'm talking about.
And a second kind of saddle. And,
And I was hoping there'd be more drama around the bidding on it. It was in the silent auction, but and I think Sloan Shoemaker won it. I think his daughter does a lot of horse stuff, so I hope she gets to use it there.
I just like want to start being a cowboy just for that saddle.
Yeah. Cody Lee.
You'd have to figure out a way to put it on the DJ throne, so when you did your shows, you could be riding the saddle into the studio. Get your chaps and your spurs on.
Well, Tracy, you have all this really cool music picked out for us. Shall we take like a little interlude just for a second while we gather our thoughts?
Yeah, we have a very appropriate song next for you guys.
Marilyn will be in here in a little while, right?
We hope so. Yeah.
Well, stay tuned for us. We're gonna come back on and just keep on just beating the labor of love drum.
Great. Get online and bid for us. Get us across the finish line for the end of the year budget.
Must come down, let it fall from heaven above. It's not much difference in the twixt and the tween when you're gone in your mind.
That's right. We're talking about Labor of Love. Thanks to Ned Donahue.
Don't wait more than 2 hours to bid on your items at Katie and Kay's Labor of Love auction.
Donate your dough.
Yeah. And we've printed out a couple of sheets here that I was going to run through quickly. These are the ones I can't guarantee that this is all up to date because things are probably still happening online, but as of at least a half an hour ago, I think, or maybe a little earlier, than that, we had a couple things that haven't had bids yet, so these are ones that get on over to bid on. There's a Co-Venture has a 5 one-day drop-ins at their co-working space. That's a $125 value, so... I think there's still a Shorts Fest pass for Aspen Film Festival. For a new customer, there's 1 year of compost collection from Evergreen Zero Waste. Woo. And there's a private yoga class with Alia Howe. and a physical therapy session with Peg O'Brien and Inkswell Printing. So those are some of the things. Go online and check it out. And there's all kinds of other stuff that is on there. Hundreds of gift certificates to restaurants for sure.
Oh, I love that. And yeah, often you can get them just like at the value that they're already at. So you're just supporting Katie and Kay and going to your favorite restaurant, whatever that is.
Yeah. We also got, I don't think this one has a bid on it yet. There's 4 fun day tickets to Glenwood Caverns Adventure Park. You can crawl around in the caves, get a little dirty for the Labor of Love auction. And speaking of dirty love.
Oh, Tracy. So dirty.
Give me your dirty love. Like you might surrender to some dragon in your dreams. Give me your dirty love. Like a pink donation to the dragon in your dreams. I don't need your sweet devotion, and I don't want your cheap emotion. Whip me up some dragon lotion for your dirty love. Your dirty love. Give me your dirty love. Like some tacky little pamphlet in your daddy's bottom drawer. Give me your dirty love. I don't believe you've never seen his book before. I don't need no consolation. I don't want your reservation. I only got one destination, and that's your dirty love. Your dirty love.
Whoa, flaming solo.
Everybody loves a little Zappa in their life.
Heck yeah, it's Katie and Kate.
That was Dirty Love by Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention. And speaking of dirty, we had an item in the live auction, Susie Ellison's Orgasmic Chocolate Tort. We got real dirty up there in the Thunder River Theater on Friday. We had a nice time, and everybody will be coming to whoever won that orgasmic chocolate tort to their house to eat that tort, and it'll surely be a fitting climax to any meal. Ironically enough, there were no nuts in that tort, but hopefully some lucky eaters receive multiple servings, and yeah, that tort definitely hit the spot for whoever won it. Thanks to Susie for donating that orgasmic chocolate tort. And whoever won it, while you can enjoy the orgasmic chocolate tort alone, Katie and Kay does recommend inviting at least one other person to share the experience with you. Uneaten portions can be refrigerated to avoid a one-night stand, but cigarettes were not included in that auction item. So, yeah, these are just some of the great we love that all we have so many of our local individuals who just donate their baked goods. I think Muggsy has a chocolate baklava or something like that. I don't have it right in front of me.
A babka.
Yeah, babka. Susie Darrow, also our own Frog Princess, had a pie, I believe.
I think that one went peach pie.
Yeah,
there's a lasagna from Joni Matranga. There's soup and bread, I think, from Leslie.
Less Joni's a real Sicilian too, right?
She sure is.
There's plenty of booze to wash it all down as well.
I think the cognac, nobody has yet bid on the cognac.
Yes, the cognac still has no bid. So great deal on anything that doesn't have a bid yet. You're basically getting that for half price unless you get outbid in the next 2 hours and 24 minutes.
Yeah, so get on over there and check it out. KDNK.org, and then up top there's a banner that you click through to the auction, and you can look at all the items and just scroll away. There's a lot of stuff to look through, so you have to kind of be patient and like look through a lot of stuff because there's a lot of things to look at. I think there's 250 things almost. So,
if you're wondering what the heck is going on here on Express Yourself this Friday, we're going into the final minutes of the Labor of Love auction on KDNK. We're going to go live from 6 to 7 p.m. this evening and hopefully have a fun old time up here in the studio until the music DJ comes on. And we'll just be, you know, live on the air taking your bids and everything and just kind of watching who's bidding on what and announcing it for you. And
can I get a 5? Can I get a 500? Can I get a 550? 55, 600. I got a 600 in the corner.
Yeah.
Yes. That's exactly what it's going to sound like from 6 to 7.
And I just wanted to say that Marilyn Gleason will be on here shortly interviewing some artists from Glenwood Springs from the Cooper Corner Artist Collective. So stay tuned for that. And I think we've pretty much said everything we need to say, right, about the Labor of Love auction.
Yeah.
And Marilyn's coming in here to give me a sticky note that...
Breaking news
that it's going to be Linda Holleran, glass artist, Judy Milne, watercolor artist, and... Yeah, that's the Cooper Corner Gallery Cooperative is what they're officially called. So stay tuned for that coming up shortly.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, KDNK listeners. This is Express Yourself with Amy Kimberly. Out of town for the holidays, I'm Marilyn Gleason, and sitting in for a little bit this afternoon to talk about the Cooper Corner Gallery. Oh, Cooper Gallery, because you're not on the corner anymore. Okay. Cooper Gallery has had a recent move. It's been in Glenwood Springs for a long time. It's an artist cooperative, and in the studio I have Linda Holleran with me. She's a glass artist and part of the cooperative. And also on the phone, we have Judy Milne, who's been with the gallery for a long time. Hi, Judy.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, good. She's talking to us all the way from Tucson, taking a little break from the cold weather, I gather, here in the Roaring Fork Valley. So welcome to you both. Welcome, Linda.
Good to be here.
It's great to have you on the air with me here. As I said, it's been around for a long time. We could talk a little bit first maybe about the history of the cooperative. It started from, as I understand, the Glenwood Arts Guild once upon a time.
The original sort of partners, many of them were part of the Art Guild, and I think we're looking for another place to sell their work. And so they
would have, yeah. And Jim Mason and his partner had owned the building in on Grand Avenue and had asked Cynthia Thomas if they wanted to have an art gallery in it. So that's how it got started with the 809 Gallery.
So originally it was out there on Grand Avenue, maybe when Glenwood was a little less busy and prices were a little lower for the real estate down there. At some point, the gallery moved over to the Cooper Corner. Is that Cooper and 8th Street?
Cooper and 8th, yep.
Yeah, and recently, again, another move. Why did the gallery move this time?
The building was put up for sale, and we couldn't afford to buy it. And so we lost our lease and started looking and then found this space on. We wanted to stay in the neighborhood. We like being downtown, like being someplace that people can just find us and drop in. And so we found a space on Cooper Avenue, which is sort of a half of a block, I don't know my directions, but towards the Colorado River, so between 8th and 7th on Cooper.
So you were able to stay right there on Cooper Street, move down a few doors, sort of over there, down towards the railway station.
Yep, yep.
And is the Masala Curry
there? We're very close to Masala Curry and local. And what's called Homestead, the little apothecary shop.
Right.
So we're all sort of in that neighborhood. And Cooper Avenue's kind of starting to develop a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing, we hope.
And closed down for a little while in the interim?
Only for about 2 weeks.
Wow.
We managed to make a pretty good I think only 2 weeks. Judy, do you remember?
I think it was two.
So we were able to keep the space we were in and you know, keep showing the work while we were working on the new space. And then literally we were wheeling stuff across the street to get it from one place to the next.
It's nice to have a short move.
Yeah.
That you can't just sort of wheel all that delicate pottery and glasswork right down the street, right?
Well, we moved whole display walls.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So tell me, it's a cooperative. What does that mean?
Well, we're all equal partners, and we all work in the gallery. We really don't. We have no paid employees. We have a few people that will substitute for individuals when they can't work. But we all do three, four-hour shifts a month, and we manage to keep the gallery then open 7 days a week. And that way everybody's familiar with everyone else's work. Do you have anything to add, Judy?
No, that's pretty good. And each member's on member of a committee as well to cover hanging, maintenance, office,
jury.
Yeah.
You know, because
jury,
we do jury people to come into the gallery, and there's a little bit of turnover from year, you know, people's circumstances change and they leave the gallery and then we bring new people in. We always try and have a diverse sort of mix of artists.
What are some of the media represented by your artists now? I understand you have about, well, I understand you have exactly 20 artist members right now.
I've got two photographers, two woodworkers, two glass / ceramic people, and then two more potters. At least, Judy, how many watercolor? Judy does watercolors.
Yeah. Right. So there are one, two, three watercolorists. Nancy does watercolor.
Yeah.
Julie and myself, and several do acrylics. Maria.
Yeah, and we've got some oil. I think Maria does oil and acrylic. But even if if we have more than one watercolorist, their subject matter or style tends to be somewhat distinct. So Judy does a lot of wildlife, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, right. And Nancy does abstract. And
Carlisle Stem does a lot of birds.
And you have some woodworkers as well.
Yeah, got two woodworkers. One, Bruce Newt does wood turning, where everything is done on a lathe. Mm. So a lot of uses a lot of wood, like marble and not marble, walnut, but also does a lot of aspen and cottonwood, softer wood things. And then the other woodwork, they do cutting boards, and that's this little sort of family run. It's sort of a very great story. Their son, well, the dad, I think, worked construction and would bring home scrap lumber from jobs. And their son, when he was, I don't know, maybe 10, 12, started making cutting boards, took them to a farmer's market. They sold well. And from there, it just took off. And pretty soon, I think the whole family was involved in some way. And
right.
Now the kids are all grown up, and the mom, Jennifer, is sort of keeping it going, but also does really beautiful pencil sketches.
It turns out she's quite an artist too. She sort of shyly brings in her drawings, and they're amazing pencil drawings. Yeah. I've seen some of her work before.
Who else do we have?
Tell me about
jewelers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
jewelers.
So there's kind of a wide range. I was curious if there was sort of a sort of artistic theme. You would think out here in the West there would be a lot of nature, and those sorts of themes for the art. But maybe
I think, like you're saying, because of where we are by default, it's a lot of nature. But I think that's also what we try and do when we jury is it's as much, I would say, the quality of the work. And so one of the younger artists who just came in, her art it's nature themed, but it's not representational. She pushes the colors. So it's way more contemporary, I think, in her choice of color. And in some ways, it makes me think, and hopefully I won't offend her, of album art from certain periods, just that sort of vibrancy in her work. And we've got another new artist who does, it's mixed media, but they're super contemporary and a lot of really nice colors. And sometimes they look a little bit landscapey. If you look at them, you can see that. But a lot of them are pretty abstract. So I think it has more to do, I think, with whether, we don't want to have two artists whose work looks identical. We want the gallery to be interesting. So because everybody's got different taste, or what they like. And it's nice when they come in the door for them to find something that interests them.
Right. So it's less a typical collection of Western landscape art that you might find here than it is a collection of a diversity of artists right from here in this area.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, Linda, how does being a member of this cooperative kind of serve you as an artist?
It gives me some place. I think most people who, and sometimes I think of myself more as a craftsperson, but there's that compulsion to produce something tangible, right? And you can only do so, you can only give so many things away. Or put so,
yeah.
So it gives you a place to share your work, right? And that is really a fun part of it. You know, when people come into the gallery and they genuinely enjoy what they see. And that's fun. And working in the gallery, Glenwood is sort of interesting. For a number of years, I took my work to the Saturday Market in Aspen. As you can imagine, it's the people that come to the market in Aspen are very different than the people who show up in the gallery in Glenwood. And we get a lot of people from the Midwest, you know, and we get just these sweet sort of family, you know, that are in Glenwood for a family vacation, and they wander in and are so excited to, you know, to find a gallery and some artwork. So it's
Yeah, being in that downtown Glenwood area too, it's local, but there's a lot of tourists in that area too.
Yeah.
So you kind of get a mix. What would be your answer to that question, Judy, about how does being a member of the cooperative support you as an artist?
Oh, it's been wonderful, as Linda said, a place to put all my things I just have to get out of my head and onto paper. And it really is wonderful to have such a place. The as Linda said, the variety is quite amazing in the shop. There, and people have always commented on that, how many different aspects of artwork we do have to show. It's I've done a few fairs and art shows over the year, but I really enjoy just having the gallery where I can take my work and also work there myself, feel a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice group of people to work with.
Linda, you're a glass artist, mm-hmm. and glass art is really interesting. It was probably something I didn't have much of a feel for or think about for a long time, but I have seen some glass art. There's a pretty great gallery up in Aspen.
Yeah.
And and the variety and range of things that people can do with glass is astonishing. So I'd be very interested to hear you describing your glass art.
Well, I started blowing glass at Colorado Rocky Mountain School because they have a glass program, and I was working there in the garden, but I would help with the interim. And glass blowing is pretty compelling in that you're working with glass at 2,000 degrees and you have to focus. It's pretty challenging. And when I left CRMS, you know, it's not easy to set up a hot shop. It's a pretty high-end item, and you have to run it all the time. So you need to really be producing a lot of work or have a lot of people working. So I got into kiln glass sort of at the same time, so glass blowing as a medium has been around for a long time. Most people are familiar with that form of art glass. The kiln glass, when people were initially working with it, they called it fused and then slump, because you would heat a piece together and then you'd put it in a ceramic mold and heat it again and it would take on the shape of the ceramic mold. But I would say, just in the time I've been learning, so many people are sort of pushing the techniques where you can start making things in a kiln that mimic something that's blown, because you're using heat and gravity and the glass. And so even though you're not actively blowing and manipulating it, you're sort of planning it out ahead of time before it goes into the kiln about how you're going to use the temperature in the kiln and gravity. So you can set the glass up, you know, on a form and heat it, and the glass can drop through that form until it hits the kiln shelf and it stops it. So you can get these very interesting forms. And just by, you know, playing with the temperature, you can get different textures. And there's some pretty amazing artists that are really sort of pushing the boundaries and developing new techniques. So I think it's like any art form, you know, part of it's producing something, but part of it's also, you know, playing away, playing around with the process and seeing what's going to happen. So
yeah, it's a really old material, too.
It's very old material.
Is there some concern after the move that you that some of your regular patrons actually don't know where you are anymore?
I think there was some of that. I'm always pleasantly surprised that people do find us. But at the same time, you know, anytime you make a move, because I've had people say to me that they drove by the old location and, oh, I'm so sorry that you closed. And, you know, and so we're sort of trying to get the word out about where we are. And hopefully people will find us. We were always, for people who are traveling and who walk around downtown Glenwood, they would sort of stumble upon us and find us. Mm-hmm. But, we'd like to let folks know where we are.
And it is the holiday season.
And
you
it is
do
the
have,
holiday season.
You do have some lower-priced and functional kind of art in the store that that might be great for this time of year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the plotters. I think everyone tries. Even the photographers will do small little prints of their bigger works that you can buy, and they're under $30. Almost all the two-dimensional artists do cards. So Judy's got some really nice holiday cards. So
come on in.
Yeah.
It's down there just off of 8th. In Cooper, kind of between 8th Street and the train station, and just a great place to go in and meet some of your local artists and see some of the beautiful art that's being produced around Glenwood Springs, and maybe bring something home with you.
Yeah, that's always good.
Thanks so much. We've been talking to Linda Holleran, glass artist and a member of the Cooper Corner Cooperative, Cooper Gallery, excuse me. I'm still on the old location there. And Judy Milne joined us all the way from Tucson, where she presumably is still painting watercolors.
Yes, definitely. A few cactus and cacti and javelinas instead of mount bears and pine trees.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a wonderful Christmas.
Thank you.
We'll see you at the gallery.